Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. The 13th chapter of Luke, our story, falls in a series of encounters that Jesus has with religious leaders and society. And they will argue about authority. They will argue about what should happen on the Sabbath. They will argue about the identity of Jesus and his authenticity. This morning, Jesus is a teacher. He's teaching in the synagogue when he encounters this woman who has been bent over for 18 years. And he calls her over. It's a wonderful scene where you almost have a sense that Jesus is in the middle of doing an exegesis on Isaiah, and he notices her and calls her over, and he lays hands on her and heals her. He calls her over and he says to her, "You are loosed, set free." The verb is actually to be loosed or freed from something, as if you were in captivity. You are set free from that which binds you. And he laid hands on her, and she stood straight up and began praising God. Just after that, one of the leaders of the synagogue who was there begins to complain that Jesus is doing work on the Sabbath. We like to demonize that a little bit, but in fact, those are the rules. And healing is considered work. And so he very rightly holds Jesus to account, because the tradition says you should not work on the Sabbath, and Jesus works on the Sabbath. And again, as happens over and over again in Luke, Jesus turns rules on their head. And a new learning happens. It's almost as if Jesus has changed the rules in this tiny little story. One of my favorite stories I have followed since I was a little boy. I have always loved Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. I personally think that the end of August is the perfect time to tell the story. But I watch it literally in four versions every year. I watch a video every year in four different versions, of which, in my personal opinion, it's either George C. Scott or Captain Picard have the best ones. But you can see it's a matter of opinion. But in this story, it's often talked about as a story of redemption. I think it's just like the story that we have today, not so much a story about healing and redemption as it is about being unbound. You know who Scrooge is. Scrooge is bound up. He is bound up in his own self-interest. He is bound up in tradition. He is bound up in his business. And he is bound up in his selfishness. But most of all, it turns out that Scrooge is simply bound up in himself. Over the course of time, he encounters different parts of his life in which he begins to have revealed to him exactly how he is bound. He begins with the premise that he is just fine. And for all the world to see, and for what you can see from the outside, he seems perfectly to be Scrooge. Scrooge does not mind being Scrooge. In fact, he can't figure out what's wrong with the rest of you. Why would you possibly be generous? Why would you be happy? Why would you care about your relatives? It's all, do you remember the word? humbug. It's all humbug. His childhood is revealed to him. And he sees that once he was unbound and was happy and joyful, his relationship with his dear girlfriend is again revealed to him. And he sees that at one time in his life, he was unbound and happy and able to love. And then he begins to see how he becomes bent over on himself. Paul uses the word curvatio, to be curved in on oneself. And he sees over time how he bends lower and lower until he is almost bent in half. It's not until he sees the world through different eyes that he begins to unbend. It starts with Bob Cratchit's little boy, Tiny Tim. And suddenly, something and someone about which he has never cared begins to reveal a light to him that he did not know. And it creeps in, unlooked for, unwanted, uncared. This love for this little guy, and there's a moment at which he asks the ghost, will he live? And the ghost says, unless something changes, I see an empty crutch lovingly placed by the fireplace. But its owner is long gone. It's more than a morality tale. Dickens does not intend for us to see that story as the simple redemption of one man in one place in one time. What Dickens hopes that we see in the story is how Scrooge became Scrooge. That the very system of economics, the very system that he lives in and embraces and loves, the gathering of wealth and property, how that became what bent him over. Dickens hopes that we understand that the reason that Tiny Tim is how Tiny Tim is because of who Scrooge is. That though there is this abundance in the world, it is so unequally divided that there are Tiny Tims and old men sitting in their rooms gathering dust and wealth. By the end of the story, Scrooge is unbound. You could use the same verb that Jesus uses about the woman. He is loosed from the things that bind him. And finally, on that morning, when he wakes up on Christmas morning and he sticks his head out the window and there's a little boy running along who he would have never noticed before, he says, young man, what day is it? And he looks at him, he says, it's Christmas Day. And he says, thank goodness, I haven't missed it. I haven't missed it. I wonder these days what bends us over. What keeps us bent over and unable or unwilling to feel the needs of the world? To see nothing but feet? and think that it's enough. It's interesting that the very economic systems that Dickens describes begin to unfold even today. And it is hard as a pastor to watch how people are being bent over with poverty, with racism, with feelings of not being worth anything because you don't quite measure up. In a way, even social media bends us over because it just seems like everyone is having a better life than we are. If you feel that way, go to my Facebook page at any time. You will definitely feel better about yourself. I think when Jesus heals that woman and unbends her and sets her free, all against the rules, all against normal practice, all against all of the traditions that were there that day, Jesus also calls us to be unbent. This story is the witness of Jesus, and it is about the unbending of our prejudices, our racism, our classism, and a call to stand up and praise God. I'm sure not many of you watch Samantha Bee, but I do. She talked about, it was incredible. She talked about the fact that after every mass shooting, what do we say we're going to do? We're going to pray. I have a sneaking suspicion that Samantha may not be Christian. She said, you know, I know you all think I should be here to be funny, but I have to tell you, I'm just angry. And she said, I am tired of people telling me they're going to pray. Pray to what? Pray to who? For what? She said, I'll tell you a deal. She says, what if instead of praying, we actually did something substantive to help make sure that our children will not suffer the fate of so many kids? And what struck me related to this sermon is she said, what if it turns out that we have to give up some small freedom? Some small freedom to ensure that children live. And I thought, wow. On that day, you know, people were being asked to give up their idea of the Sabbath so that this woman, so that all of us could be unbent, to give up our preconceived notions about what is right and perfect and good for us for the sake of another. And it's so hard to do, and yet so necessary. It is time, it seems to me, that we are unbent for the sake of Christ and for the sake of our neighbor. For in the healing of this one daughter of Abraham, who Satan had bound for 18 long years, for her sake, Jesus brings healing to us and to the world. And so we, as God's people, are being called to stand up straight, be unbent, that God's peace might reign. Be unbent in Christ, freed and set loose, that we might praise God. Amen. Amen.